You are now tuned in from the Desk of Low, brought to you by from the That Feeling Podcast Network. If you have a dream, go get it. Welcome back from the Desk of Low. I have with me a guy who's been in the game for a long time, and he's got some crazy-ass rhymes. He released a fire project. One of my favorite projects is his EP, Five Shots. So if you know who that is, I got my guy 38 Splash on the phone.
What's going on, man?
Let's start this off right, sir. Happy New Year from Canada.
Shout out to Canada, man. Shout out to Canada, man.
I was going to say, how's over there in Rochester, sir, for 2019?
Oh, man, Rochester is pretty cool, man. Real cold, man.
So I was curious, 38 Splash. You went by 38 Special before, right?
Yeah, I used to be called 38 Special. Back in the days until I realized it was a rock band called 38 Special.
And that's what made you want to switch your name to 38 Splash?
Definitely.
Okay, because I'm always doing my research on you, and I was curious, too. You started rapping at 7 years old. I was curious, what was the first record that made you want to rap?
Honestly, the first record that probably made me want to rap came from my older brother. My older brother actually inspired me to rap. They was rapping. He had a little local group. And, you know, I used to sit and watch them writing raps, and that's what really inspired me before the industry. I was really inspired in-house, you know?
Oh, so it was always around you seeing your brother writing raps and stuff like that?
Definitely. My father was a DJ, so, you know, he used to play a lot of music, had records and equipment and stuff like that. My older brother used to, you know, him and his friends used to be rapping over instrumentals, and I used to just be sitting back watching. So, you know, that's what made me start so early.
Can you remember the first time you actually spit the rhyme? It's like, you know what, I'm just going to spit it right here.
Yeah, I was actually 7 years old, and I spit some bars, and I've been going ever since, man. You know, ever since.
Yeah, I love music with meaning behind it, too. Like, some of your lines, like, you can manipulate the system if you know the loopholes. That's one of my favorite lines by you.
I appreciate that, man. That's a real line.
Oh, yeah.
Manipulate the system if you learn the loopholes.
That's big facts right there, dude. I lived through that, too. I was like, this guy knows what he's talking about. Because I always do my research, and you say that you used to hoard a lot of music in the stash. Do you still do that, 38?
Nah, I don't do that no more. Now I just, I make a lot of music, but I don't hoard it. I give it release dates. Everything come out within the year time frame. I used to hold music for years, though.
And your first official project, would you say, is Out on Bail, sir? And that was released back in 2008?
What did you say? What?
What, Out on Bail? Out on Bail.
Yeah, Out on Bail was released in 2008, definitely.
And I watched this DVD by you, and I was curious, too. Do you keep a physical product, or like a poster of each product that you place out, just as a reminder to see how far you came from?
Definitely. I have all my artwork and all my posters. And I have them plaqued in my house just so I can see my work. You know, it's in my hallway when I walk in, actually.
Oh, so as soon as when you walk in, it's just like, damn, I came from this.
Yeah.
Because Rochester, there's actually a few people from Rochester that appeared on the show. Shout out to Ito. I was curious the first time you ever met Ito.
Yeah, man, I met Ito when I was 16 years old. A DJ introduced us, and we started producing together. He used to make beats, I used to make beats, so we used to make records together when we were teens.
And you said that you were 16 when you were making beats, too. Was that around 15 or 16 when you actually started to take producing seriously, sir?
Definitely. I started taking producing serious around 15, 16, and, you know, so I met Ito around that time, and, you know, we've been, you know, working with each other since then.
You guys have talks to just like to see how far you guys came throughout time too, because I watched this DVD by you, and he was actually featured in it freestyling too. I was like, wow, these guys came from a long, long way.
Definitely, man. We talk about it all the time, man. We've been doing this for over 10 years, man. We talk about it all the time.
And I'm curious too, since you're from Rochester and all, did you have a relationship with the late great Chinx Drugs?
Well, Chinx Drugs, he's from Far Rock, and that's Far Rock.
Oh yeah, that's Far Rock, Rochester. My bad.
But I did know Chinx Drugs, and we did actually do some work together, and we met each other a couple times, and we always saluted each other. We had mutual respect for each other. He was a real cool dude, real humble, cool dude.
Yeah, he seemed like a real humble dude too. Was the work that you guys did, was that with that documentary called The Last Trapper?
Yeah, it's that's on that documentary, and the song that me and Chinx did, it's actually called The Appeal. It's with me, Chinx, and French Montana.
Okay. And I like to keep my questions unique 38 too. I was actually what I found on Dat Piff, Cocaine Cowboys too. You and Benny been putting in work for a long, long time. From my understanding, you met Benny when you used to record out in Buffalo, 45 minutes from Rochester too. I'm curious too, sir, do a lot of people hit you up about that Cocaine Cowboys project?
Well, yeah, it was a classic when it dropped. Actually, I was incarcerated when it came out, but it was definitely a classic when it had dropped. That's kind of what introduced me to Buffalo to me, and Rochester to Benny, and it was the beginning of us actually making songs together. So yeah, that was a dope project.
And that pistol on me made me a fan right there of that project too. I was like, yep, that's it. I got this that on lock.
Yeah, Crystal on me, that was our shit.
Because you actually have influences from the South too, because like I said, I do my read, and when I listen to some songs on Cocaine Cowboys, you can tell that you have some influence from the South. You said Young Jeezy plays a soundtrack on your life. What was your reaction when you first heard TM101 in full, Mr. 38?
Honestly, when I first heard that project, I got a feeling of motivation I never got from no music before. It actually made me want to change my life on a street level. I never felt like that from music. Like, music always motivated me in different ways. It either made me want to do something like, probably, grimy or something violent, but I never got motivated to actually want to change my life for the better until I heard Thug Motivation 101. And after that, that album changed my life because it made me want to be the best hustler that you could possibly be,
And I was curious too, how did you find that album 38?
I was introduced to that album from the streets. It was everywhere. It was hard not to find it during that time. Everybody on the corner had a Snowman t-shirt. It was one of the biggest impacts in hip hop that I've seen during my generation.
That's facts. We got banned from high school from wearing those t-shirts.
Right.
And I was curious too, have you ever met Jeezy before?
No, I never met Jeezy. Never met him.
Because I seen that you worked with Gucci Mane before too.
Definitely work with Gucci.
So you're not opposed to collaborating with people from the South, I see.
Nah, I like South music. And like I said, South music was my first introduction to motivational music. So I'm always have respect for South music.
And Mr. 38 too, when you were 16 making beats, that's when you met Green Lantern too. And when can you remember the first time that you ever rapped for him? Because I understand that you met him on a production level.
Yeah, the first time that I had rapped for him, I was 16 as well, and they wasn't too impressed the first time. But he was more impressed with my production. But he knew, he seen I had the talent. After about me being around for one time, he brought me up to Sirius Satellite Radio, and Smack DVD was up there, and they was recording something, and there was a couple rappers up there, and they put me on the spot, and he seen how I had did my thing, and he was surprised, and from that day on, he started calling me his artist. That's when he knew, like, I had something special.
And when you guys first met and started developing the friendship too, did you know it was going to turn into something like this, or you had no idea at all?
Nah, I really ain't had no idea. You know, I just came around because he was impressed from a beat that I heard I made, so I ain't never think that, you know, it would really grow into nothing, you know what I'm saying? But throughout the years, you know, he has been a mentor to me, and, you know, that's my boy. That's my homie.
Did he really have to meet you? Because he's like, there's no way a 16-year-old kid made this beat.
And that's exactly how he was. He was like, if a 16-year-old kid made this beat, I need to meet him.
He's like, I need to see if he's real. So, you got the Trust 3 coming out first. I just checked out the first two. Absolutely fire, sir. You got some fire artists underneath you, like Class Murder and Chain Noir. How did your label come about, Trust Comes First?
Trust Comes First started in Rochester, New York. You know, I started off as the first artist from the label. And then after that, I added Class Murder. And I met Class Murder when he was 13 years old. By the time he turned about 17, 18, 19, I signed him. And after Class Murder, a few years after that, I signed Benny. And then we started putting out the Trust tapes. And the first Trust tape consisted of me, Class Murder, and Benny. And then after that, I met Shay. Well, first I stopped rapping, and then Benny signed to Griselda. And then when I started back rapping, because I took a year off, when I started back rapping, me and Benny did Stabbed and Shot. So after I did Stabbed and Shot, I met Shay Dawn. And then I signed her to the movement. So, you know, during the period of time of us making this music, I had a lot of songs from that, you know, period of time when we were all making music. So, you know, I took that music and some new music, and I came up with the Trust 3, and it's a classic, you know what I'm saying? This is my original sound, like the Trust sound. The Trust provides a certain sound, and this is the sound that best represents the Trust. So Trust 3 is something to look forward to. You know, Class Murder and Shane Dawes is, you know, the future.
You know, when I listen to Shay Noir too, it's not that much female spinning like her out there too. I was curious too, what made you want to just click on her music to check her out?
Well, at first I seen Westside Gunn put up a stat on Facebook saying that Shay Noir was the hottest female from Buffalo and everybody should be standing behind her. But so after that, she ended up inboxing me, and she sent me a record saying that, you know, she'd been a fan of mine, and she'd been waiting and wanting me to send me a record, so she finally sent it. So when I listened to it, I was blown away. After that, we met up, and then she joined the movement.
Would you say you always have to have a relationship with the artist before you do any business with them, sir?
I would like to, you know. I like to do business with my artists. I like to, you know, judge artists not just off talent but off character. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, 38, I'm really glad that you went to that first concert with Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg's Chronic Tour. You get any pictures from that concert?
I wish I did, man. I wish I did. It was epic, though.
That's one hell of a first concert.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Because you're from the golden era, too, and when they went on tour, I was 2 years old. Did you see any other legends in concert, like Biggie, Pun, Pac?
Yeah, sad, man. I never seen Big. I never seen Pun in concert. I never seen Pac in concert. I seen Jay-Z in concert. I seen DMX in concert. Like, and I feel like those two are the most legendary that I ever seen. Besides, you know, the Chronic tour.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I wish I could have seen Pac Big or I never seen Nas either. I never been to a Nas show.
Oh really? Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I gotta go to the next Nas show. I heard they're crazy.
Yeah, I heard he's doing Illmatic live next.
Oh, that's gonna be fire.
Oh yeah, one of the best albums ever recorded.
Right.
Now I noticed too, you collaborate with one of my most favorite R&B singers too, and he's highly underrated in my opinion, Imani. How did you meet Imani?
Oh man, Imani used to live in Rochester as well, so you know. It's crazy. We got a lot of talent up here, you know what I mean? So, and from him being, you know, from Rochester, it just, and being that good, it's not hard for us to connect, you know what I'm saying? So.
Wow, I never knew you were from Rochester.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Would you, you definitely put on for your city, as Jeezy would say.
Definitely.
And I'm curious too, 38, you released your EP Five Shots right before your, I consider that the classic of 2019, 38 Strategies of Raw. Was that the quickest EP you ever done before?
Quickest EP I ever done in my life. I'm talking about a matter of days. I went to sleep, woke up, it was done. It's kind of impressive to me. I don't know how it happened. I'm going to try that again. I got to try that again because that was kind of amazing. Seriously. I didn't even... It's like I woke up one day with an idea, then I woke up the next day and it was done. I never seen nothing like that before. So, yeah, that's amazing.
And the way that project came out, too, right before it was the setup for that, too, it was like even like... Their intro samples are raw. That's like my most played track by you ever.
I love samples are raw. Oh my God. I'm shooting a video for it. I was listening to it today. It's funny you said I was listening to it today, like, but I need a video for that. I love the way that started.
Yeah, it's the perfect way to start that a project, too. And it's the opening for 38 Strategies of Raw.
Right. Exactly.
Now, I'm curious too, how big is song placement for you? Like, this song goes here, this song goes here, or this song goes here? Or do you kind of just put the songs on as soon as when you finish them in that order? Because I know every artist is different, sir.
Song placement is very important for me. I got to start an album off a certain way, and I have to end the album off a certain way. If you notice, I start all my albums off a certain way, certain vibe. Set the tempo, and I end my albums off with some pain, some real life type event that you can actually sit down and think. I slow it down, you know?
You know, when I listen to each of your projects too, you take me on a ride. It's like, do you purposely do that for each project too? The best way I can describe your project is cinematic living, because I picture, like, some of your rhymes, I can actually picture, like, these scenarios happening.
That's exactly what I make music for. That's my type of music. So I'd like to take you on a ride. It's kind of like, that's why I named it after the, that's why I did the theme after the books, because these are like books. I'm telling stories, you know, and you can see it. You can actually visualize what's going on. And I'll take you on a ride. I make music for the car. More than a club.
Yeah.
You can put it in a car and it'll take you from one place to another. If you gotta go somewhere, you need to get somewhere, it's gonna help you get there.
Yeah, that's true. I was just gonna say too, like when I was banging the 38 pounds of powder too, I was in the car playing that whole album front to back. I'm like, I didn't skip one track.
Appreciate that.
Or like,
Appreciate that.
and I love the growth as an artist too. I absolutely love the growth as an artist too. Do you still go back and listen to your old freestyles when you were rapping in 2008, 2009, 38?
Definitely here and there. I go back and definitely. Definitely. And I see the growth too as well. You know, I listen to my old projects and all that, you know, and definitely.
When you listen to your old projects too, is it just for inspiration or just to see like, damn, that was me back then, and I'm still nice?
Both, a little bit of both.
Like some of your lines too, when I listen, when you ship boxes, it's a tremendous process. You used to eat losses, now to get harder to digest too. I love music with meaning behind that.
Right. It's like a lost art. I'm glad that to hear that there's people that appreciate that. You know? That's what makes me feel good. That's a reward to me.
What?
Because when I'm writing that, I'm not thinking about a guy in Canada is going to appreciate this. I'm just writing this, you know, speaking from my personal experiences, and it's beautiful that you appreciate it.
Oh yeah, I gotta appreciate that too, because you take your time into doing that stuff too. So when I listen to it and I hear certain quotes like that too, obviously I'm like, say, this is incredible.
Appreciate that.
Now, anytime 38, like I said, I keep it a buck on this show too. Now, I was curious too, because you actually have a relationship with DJ Premier too. Has he ever talked to you about Royce da 5'9" before they actually started doing Prime?
Nah, he never spoke to me about that. Nah.
So you found out about like that every how everyone else did, eh?
Well, actually, I was around when he was working on it. He did mention it when he was working on it, that him and Royce was working on an album, actually. He did mention it. Because I was around a couple times when they had sessions and stuff.
And I was curious too, when was the first time you ever heard of Royce da 5'9"?
Bad Meets Evil. No. Yeah, first time I heard Royce da 5'9" was on a freestyle with him and M, when M said, Royce says, "I'm kicking MC's feet first back in their mother's womb." And M said something like, "Any rapper that try to go against me get taken advantage of, like Monica Lewinsky." Like, I don't know what the freestyle that was, but that's my first time hearing Royce. I was 14 years old, and I heard him and M, and I said, "Who the hell is these people?" And then that's when I became an Eminem fan. Then I heard Eminem album. Then I heard "Bad Meets Evil," and I said, "They were incredible."
Now. Yeah. Hearing that too, saying that her "Bad Meets Evil" first too, I was curious. You done a song with somebody in my top five too, and I actually got to interview him too. How did the track with Buckingham Palace come about with Ghostface, King Crooked, and Benny? The guy in the top five is King Crooked.
Oh man, when they was working on the album, they actually reached out to me. And me and Ben said they wanted us on there. This is a little bit after Stat shot, so I guess, you know, they must have heard the chemistry me and Benny had. So, you know, this DJ Almighty reached out and said that he wanted us on the project. So that's how that happened.
I'm curious, too, when you and Benny collabed on Stabbed and Shot and get into reception, that it got to, like, it's still getting crazy reception in 2019. What was that feeling like, knowing that you guys put in so much work and the people are finally catching on a national scale?
Oh, man, that's a great feeling, man, to actually see the work paying off, you know, and it's been over 10 years, man, so it's a great feeling to actually see it, you know, get to this point, you know what I'm saying? It just feels great.
Yeah, I bet you it does, too, because I've done a lot of research on you in the past week, too, and you have one hell of a life, so, like, I can only imagine if you ever write a book, what that book's going to be like.
It's going to be amazing. Bestseller. Has to be.
You definitely got my money on that book, so that, because, like I said, like, I watched one of your DVDs. I'm not too sure when it was released, too, but I was curious, too. Do you still have that copy of Benefits of Hard Work DVD just laying around the house?
Yeah, I do. I actually do.
What was the inspiration behind that DVD?
Oh, man. That DVD, I was inspired to do that just because I wanted to document my life. Plus, I was on my way to go and go to jail. So I kind of wanted to document my lifestyle. And that's how that DVD came about, you know what I'm saying? As I look back on it, I'm glad that I did that because, you know, it actually documents everything that I rap about. It shows, you know, it's actually validation for everything that I was talking about, you know what I'm saying? It shows that it's real, you know what I'm saying?
I like how you left the trap house to a limo. I was like, yeah, that's big facts right there. I've done that before, too.
Right. I left the trap house. Exactly. Exactly.
I was always like, yeah, I fucked with 38 Splash, man. This guy right here might do that.
Fair enough.
I was curious too, sir. When you get in the booth too, do you have to listen to other people, like not necessarily rap, but do you have to listen to other genres of music to sometimes get inspired, or not really?
Not really. You know what I mean? When I just need a good beat. If the beat is good, I'm ready to go. Okay. If the beat ain't good, then I might not. It's gonna take longer. But when the beat is good, it don't take long.
Now, I'm curious, too, because you make your own beats, too. Would you consider yourself a perfectionist when it comes to your beat making, too? Because every producer I noticed, too, has, like, a little stash of beats that they will never give out.
I'm definitely a perfectionist. You know, I take time before the beat is done. I make the beat, and I might sit on it because I know it's missing something. And, you know, I just make sure it's all the way ready before it's released. You know what I'm saying? I don't just make the beat and then just put it out. I got to make sure that it got every element that it needs.
Okay.
You know?
See, I like how you're very well planned with your releases, too, because that what shows longevity, and that's what's going to give you longevity in the game is strategetics planning.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate the recognition that you noticed that. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's because, like, it's not like you don't take rapping seriously. You take it very seriously.
Yes, I do.
Now, when you are recording a project like the 38 Laws of Rawr 2, you based them off Robert Greene books, too. What was the very first Robert Greene book you ever read, sir?
38 Laws of Powder. 38 Laws of Power.
Big facts right there. Now, because you base your albums off that too, so we can obviously expect a third installment.
Well, it's actually one. The first one that I did took from Robert Greene's book called Art of Production, but it was a slept on project because I released it under the name Spesh instead of 38 Spesh. But I just re-released it under the name 38 Spesh. So that was the first installment. Then it was 38 Laws of Powder. So the third installment was actually 38 Strategies of Raw. So you got to go back and get 38 Spesh, the Art of Production. That was the first one. took after Robert Greene out of Seduction.
Well, I'm definitely going to go back and hear that, too, because I love the first two.
Mm-hmm. You got to check that.
Oh, sorry. The two after the first one, I meant. I was curious, too, when you're reading books, too, is there any kind of books that you found, like The Secret or something like that? And it's like, wow, there's all the books out there like that.
Like, just books that actually give knowledge on...
life itself.
It's a million books out there like that, you know what I'm saying? Those are just the ones that's more common to the people that live the lifestyle that I live, being that they running through the prison systems. So that's why I use those. But it's a lot of books that I could have referenced, whether it was from Sun Tzu or, you know, other authors like that. But I just picked Robert Greene because I know that a lot of criminals in the United States prison system is familiar with Robert Greene books,
as opposed to other books out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I noticed too, like, when you read books, like, especially like those kind of books, it can really open your eyes to how you change your life too.
Also, when you listen to music, that, like me, that's why I based it off of those books, because I give the same kind of insight just from a different point of view.
Yeah.
I give the same kind of dreams, and I give the same kind of, you know, just different ways of survival and strategic thinking, you know, to get the best out of your situation.
That's very true. It's like what you said, made a lot of money in the driver's seat. That's one of my favorite songs by you and Benny. When you heard Jada and Styles go back and forth on that record, too, were you guys surprised, or was that always planned to do it like that, too? Because I noticed you and Benny go back and forth on that, too.
Yeah, that's the way we planned it, you know. It was like, yeah, we want to go back and forth with them, too. You know, because, you know, they're the ones that's really, like, the kings of that shit. So, you know, that was just, like, something we wanted to do as well with them.
I like how you said, I've been trying to tell people that over here in Canada. I'm like, yo, Jada and Styles, they were the first people, one of the, if not, to go back and forth like that on Banned from TV.
Yes, on Banned from TV. That showed that they was, like, the best to do that shit. It was so smooth.
And when I hear you and Benny doing that, too, it's no doubt that you definitely guys got inspired from them.
Definitely.
Now, I don't want to ask you the most obvious questions, 38, too, but you probably get hit up about that Son of G rap album a lot.
Definitely, you know. I get a lot of good reviews on it, you know what I'm saying? A lot of good feedback from it, you know.
Because you were listening to him since second grade, too. Does it still feel like a dream knowing that you have an album with him?
Still kind of, you know, unbelievable, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my favorite rapper.
Yeah.
For real.
And I see you guys got the gold cassettes coming out, too.
Oh, yeah. The gold cassettes is out right now, and they almost sold out, if they're not sold out right now. We're doing limited releases of everything, 38 pieces of everything. So if I release something, it's going to be 38 of them made, and that's it. Once they sell out, they will never be available again.
I like how you keep it true, 38 pieces.
Yeah, 38.
Do you have a particular favorite piece of merch that you always were like, damn, I made this, and I actually, like, this is actually, I love this piece of merch that I made.
Yeah, we had these custom flash drives that look like credit cards for the Son of G rap album, and I love them. Like, we got the actual Son of G rap documentary on there that showed the whole making of the Son of G rap on there, and they on the custom flash drive that look like a credit card, and it's fire.
Oh, that does sound fire right there.
Mm-hmm.
What was the inspiration behind that, sir?
Just trying to be creative, coming up with different creative ways, you know, to, we know that CDs is becoming obsolete, so we're just trying to find different ways to get the music to the people.
And your thoughts on physical copies, sir? I'm curious.
I think they're collector items, and I think that's for collectors. And I hope the collectors keep collecting years and years from now.
Do you have a particular collection, like a cassette collection or a vinyl collection or a CD collection?
I have a vinyl collection. I collect vinyl.
Okay.
And I got all the classics from Blueprint, Doggy Style, a Butter Rim soundtrack. I got Tupac, All Eyes on Me.
You know, I got great
vinyl collection.
I asked this question to all my vinyl diggers out there because I'm still looking for this piece of vinyl. It's probably like the rarest piece of vinyl that's out, well, in my opinion. Have you ever come across Pharaoh March's Eternal Affairs vinyl?
Oh, man, I never came across that.
That's a raucous release right there. So if you find that, that's a rarity item right there.
Thanks for letting me know.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, too. And like I said, like, you can buy it online, but I don't want to pay $5,000 for a piece of vinyl that I don't even know if it's real. Like, I need to hold that to see if I'm paying that kind of money for it.
Damn, that's what they asking for that vinyl, $5,000 around there?
Yeah. Because it's a Raucous release. Raucous, I think Raucous is out of business.
It's out of business, so they vinyls is antiques.
Ah, oh, I like how you said that. Well, it was from 1999, so it's not that old ago, but it's like what you said, like, they're not making them anymore.
Exclusive,
right? And I understand you're a very, very busy man, 38, too. I got two questions for you, and I'll let you go, sir. I really do appreciate you just hitting me like that.
Definitely.
Do any of the sessions from Cocaine Cowboys resonate from you to this day? Because when I listen to that project too, that's always gonna have a place in my playlist.
Right. That's dope. I haven't listened to Cocaine Cowboys in a while. I will have to go back through that and listen to that, but I know there's one song on there that's my favorite, and that's The Truth, with me and Benny. Truth, and I love the first record on there. What is it?
Pistol
On Me. Oh, man.
Yeah, I love that track by y'all. That chorus is fire.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This is the last question that I ask all my guests, too, and nobody can ever answer this question the same, too. That's why I like asking this question, Mr. 38.
Okay.
Do you have any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
Hello? I would say that you're not alone. Hello?
Yeah.
And you gotta keep pushing, be strong, and it get greater later. Hello?
Yeah, like the beloved Flea said, it gets greater later, too. Because you come from Rochester, too, and it's like what you said. It's not all cows and stuff out there. It's murder and money out there.
Definitely.
So, it's just like, to you to make a positive impact in your life, too. That's really inspiring to see, sir. So, I just want to let you know that if you ever feel disgruntled or anything like that, just know that there's people like me in this world that really do appreciate your art, sir.
And I appreciate you letting me know that.
And with that being said, sir, this is another classic interview from the Desk of Low featuring 38 Splash. Anything you'd like to plug in 38 Splash before I let you go?
Yeah, make sure y'all follow me on Instagram. Follow me on all my social media. I am Splash, IAMSPSH. 5 shots out in stores, 38 Strategies of Raw out in stores, Savvy Shot out in stores, Synergy Rap out in stores, Trust Take 3 is on the way.
And also Stabs and Shot twice too coming on the way too?
It's in the making.
Oh, yeah, we definitely be tapping in, sir. But like you said, you have yourself a very blessed week, 38.
You too, bro. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you too.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.